Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. We are so glad you're joining us again for this beautiful Monday evening. My name is Christy Rose. And we talk about health matters, mental health matters, and whatever matters to you. So thanks again for joining us. And we are here every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And then our older episodes are available on Freedomizer Radio or also the Freedomizer Radio podcast. And if you stop by the podcast, please rate and review and mention Mental Acumen Radio by name. And then I also want to encourage you to visit and follow our website, mentalacumenradio.com. And then if you find value in our show, feel free to share it with your friends and family. And then you can call us when we are live on air at 319-527-6208 and press number 1. We will chat about whatever is on your mind. Free to call in and chat with us about whatever you want to talk about, even if it's not pertaining to our topic of the day. And then last but not least, we want to encourage you to think globally and act locally. And you can do this by supporting your local small businesses and even things like thrift stores and garage sales and that sort of stuff. So make sure you're supporting your local community and looking for reusing items and such to support your friends and neighbors as well. And then, Donald, what is new and good with you this week?
New and good with Donald. Well, let's just talk what's new first. I learned yesterday that the county in which I live intends to institute a new mask mandate. Going to be institutionalizing all of us real soon.
Well, that sounds fun. Didn't we try that before?
Yeah, but, you know, we need to, just like everything else, we need to double down and do it harder this time because it was so effective last time. I don't know. I don't understand the logic anymore. I don't even pretend to. You know, I've been trying to kind of not remain so hyper-focused on all of the little minutiae about the COVID and the vaccines. And I try to pan out a little bit, you know, and take a broader overview of everything of what's going on. And I really hope that this is not the beginning of what President Biden and others have been calling the dark winter.
Yeah, I'm a little bit scared about that, or maybe a lot.
Well, we'll see, because all of these things that are just not connected to one another, that just happen to be happening all at the same time, that's not part of any sort of organized agenda or anything like that, like these, you know, ships get stuck sideways in the Suez Canal again, and all of the ships that are outside of the Los Angeles port that, you know, our Lord and Savior Joseph Biden's going to step in and get the National Guard to come in and start running that. And, I mean, what does that say? Does that mean we're going to be becoming habitualized seeing military on our streets real soon?
I don't like that.
Well,
that's awesome. Not good. Just new.
Well, in a related story, the a lot of the nurses and doctors that are standing up against the vaccine mandate, right? There's some of them that have said no to the vaccine, and there's others that are, you know, fighting against vaccine mandates. Either way, the medical technical overlords will not be tolerating this at all. And, you know, last year they were our heroes. Remember? We saw the signs everywhere. It was, thanks for, you know, being on the front lines. And we, you know, it was like the soldiers after 9/11, you know, everybody put a yellow ribbon in your tree.
Right.
And this one was, you know, the signs out there that said, thanks to our heroes. The frontline worker lives here.
Mm-hmm.
These people are heroes. Oh, wait, unless you don't do as you're told.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody recognizes these contradictions in our own thinking anymore. How can we, for the past year and a half, keep referring to these people, right, doctors, nurses, and everything, as our heroes, and their opinion is, you know, what we should be listening to, only to turn around and say, what? You have an opinion aside from the one that's being handed down from the medical overlords, the big pharmies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, cancel them. Get them out. This is lunacy. This is insane.
Right.
And I wonder if any of us are contemplating this, that maybe if we went back to what we were originally saying and we need to listen to these people. Okay, well, what if these people are seeing something happening with these vaccinated people that you're not, and maybe it scares them to death. Maybe they're, you know, seeing a handful of middle-aged mommies pass out in the waiting room after receiving their jab, right? Maybe they've seen a bunch of breakthrough cases or something like this.
Maybe they're more educated in the studies that have been done and the vaccine research and the lawsuits against vaccines.
And how quickly our society has just completely turned our backs on these. And I'll say that it go ahead and extends over to the other frontline workers, as they've been called forever now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Police officers and firemen,
mm-hmm.
right? There is not a one-size-fits-all, cookie-cutter type of society in America. We've never been that way. We will never be that way. What is being pushed on you is a collectivist mentality, which, I mean, you can plug in your whatever ism you want to here, but it's collectivism at the end of the day, where you all need to think this way. You all need to do this way. You all need to act this way. Why? Because it's what's best for you.
And protect yourself.
Trust us. We're the government. We're the medical technical overlords.
Right.
We won't let any wicked conspiracy theorists talk bad to you on Facebook, but you have to do this. We won't let any bad videos be shown to you on YouTube, but you have to do this. You must comply. Well, no. People are standing up, and it doesn't really matter. You don't have the right to tell people what to believe. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I am against pornography. But I don't think I have the right to tell a person not to look at naked people.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot legislate morality. You absolutely cannot legislate morality. And these hygienic questions are really coming to bear really quick. Really quick. It's like a amazing how quickly this is happening, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And people are standing up to the tyranny. I mean, that brings me to my good. The good thing in this little rant is that there are people in the streets. And I hope that there is someone that's hearing this that says, huh, why do I not know about people all around the world standing up to medical tyranny or just tyranny in general? That's because there is a power out there that is in control of the narrative, right? And just like what I said before, doctors, nurses, firefighters, policemen, religious clergymen, concrete workers, it doesn't matter. If you are going against the narrative right now, you are being ostracized from America. And think about that. We're being told that you have to put this thing inside of your body because we told you to. Okay, what's going to happen if I don't? Well, you're going to have to go live under a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to do the banking. You won't be able to work. You won't be able to do... That should scare the hell out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if I want to get a religious exemption? No, we're going to cancel those. What if I need a medical exemption? No, I'm pretty much going to cancel those too. Well, what if it kills my son here? Can I go? No, you can't sue the people that make the shots. And none of this seems completely out of bounds to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is. It is completely out of bounds. And I'm encouraged that they are, like I say, are people all around, and this is in the Western world, everyone. This is not in Bangladesh, right? Or some third world, Donald Trump shithole. This is in the Western world. Australia is losing its mind. The people in the UK have lost their minds. Italy lost its mind. Paris, France, they're losing their minds. The Western world is losing its mind. And if you are still in the camp that it can't happen here, step back and explain what the world looks like to you right now. Better yet, here's a mental exercise for everyone to do. Pretend that you have a friend. And this friend has been in a coma since the year 2018, and they just woke up from a coma yesterday, and you're there at the hospital with them, and you need to explain to them what's going on. Would you be able to field all of the bullshit questions that a person that just woke up from a coma would be able to hitch at you?
And some of the things sound so outlandish. You mean they told everybody to stay home?
It's a virus, right? How did you get out? Well, at first we thought it was a bat wing soup, and the CDC came out and said, yeah, I came from a wet market in China. Oh, wow, are we still at war with China? No, they pumped the brakes on that because we thought it might be racist. Huh? Yeah, and then the Democrats told everybody to go out and hug Chinamen and Italy and New York, and it just, really spiraled from there. Well, did they get in trouble for that? No, not really. And then we started putting masks on, but then they told us to take the mask off, but then we put them back on. And
then they told us to wear two.
And then they wanted to wear two masks. And you would literally sound like you're just making the story up as you go along. You sound like a little fifth grader trying to tell a good lie, because that is the world in which we live. said it before, say it again, where is your line?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you have to have happen to you before it shakes your confidence in the system? The system is stacked against you.
Right.
Right? I've been saying it for a year and a half. The government don't care about your health.
Well, and there's one fact. We're not going to make it out alive anyway.
I mean, I can get booze, weed, cigarettes, and fast food all on the same trip, you know, 1 mile from my house right now.
Mm-hmm.
The government doesn't care about your health, okay? Let's just dispel that rumor. If this is a personal choice matter, fine. Make your choice. I support you and you making your choice. But you don't have the right to tell me what to do with my personal property. And if I don't own my body, I don't own anything. And I don't know if you've been asleep for the past decade plus, but there's a group of people out there that want to run the world, and that's like right at the top of the list of things that they keep repeating. Oh. In the New World Order, you will not own anything, and you'll be happy. Well, that sounds like a hybridization of 1984 and the Brave New World. And no, I don't think that sounds very good to me. So I've said many times I try not to have a poisoned worldview. It's really difficult in these strange times in which we live. But I am encouraged all the time by the amount of victory gardens, farmers markets, pop-up mushroom markets. Shout out to Hazelville.
Mm-hmm.
Roadside produce stands. I see this stuff more and more and more. And people are turning away from this centralized system, and I think, you know, that we're going to return to some old ways. And I think that's going to be probably across the board. You know, we always talk about how fast is prologue. Well, in 10 years, we may wake up, and we may be a split society of a bunch of Hunger Games-looking capital city-dwelling people living in the cities, all masking each other up, canceling one another, arguing over who's the best, you know, bloodthirsty tyrant that's going to be taking the podium next month.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a group of us out here doing our own thing, trading, using alternate currencies, using alternate social media platforms.
Growing our own vegetables.
Growing our own food. Absolutely. So I try not to get, like I say, muddled down in the minutiae of the daily blah of the COVID world order. But I'm conflicted, but I try to remain encouraged. And the fact that people are fighting against it, standing up against the tyranny, I think we should all applaud it and support it.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you hear someone saying, you know, demonizing people as anti-vaxxers just because they're, or I don't like it, but I support their right to feel that way. That is the sentiment that is getting away from free people. Nobody says or talks like that anymore. Well, I don't like that, but I support your right to do it. If a person wants to be anti-vax, anti-vax on, right? If this is a real pandemic, you wouldn't need to sell vaccines. You wouldn't need to run 24/7 commercials and have COVID vaccine clinics at Walmart and Walgreens, okay? If this is a real pandemic, people would be beating down doors to the hospital trying to get at it.
Mm-hmm.
You're your medical facilities would be overrun at that point because people would be trying to get in there and get some of that vaccine.
They would be running out of vaccine. They're not having that problem.
No. But this is my rant, and I will turn it back to you, Miss Christie. What is new and good with you, Miss Christie?
I don't even know how to follow that.
Was that too much?
It was just intense.
All right, we'll just call it a day, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. You've all been a fun audience. We'll see you next door. Thank you. Good night.
Right. Sometimes you have to get it off your chest, though, and especially if that's your new information and new opinions of what's going on. So for me, mine's just regular basic stuff, I guess. I'm excited that I have processed so many apples, and by processing, I mean canning, and I've made apple butter and apple jelly.
Yes.
Dehydrated apples, caramel apples, apple pies.
You need to throw that like a caveat of, I'm not advocating sitting around with a spoon and eating apple butter and applesauce for a living.
Right. Yeah, we definitely don't eat it all ourselves. We plan on gifting some for Christmas.
Yeah.
But if the end of the world came and we were sitting in here with just a spoon and a bunch of jars, we might end up just eating some out of a jar.
I thought I got 6 cases of applesauce I could last for a winter.
You got to.
Yep.
I'm also excited that I am on my last two classes of school, and I've got 6 weeks left. So I got one class that is a group assignment that's just some weekly things we turn in, and the other one is a whole bunch of content. And so I'm excited that this is the last little bit of this particular degree. Not that I won't ever get another one, but this is a kind of a final closure on this degree, and it's kind of exciting. I've also been doing really good trying to, besides processing apples, just, you know, get my house in order like we've kind of talked about on some of the shows. And I realized that it may not be an overnight process. It may be like you do a little here, you do a little there. You don't add more stress by getting your house in order, by giving yourself too many deadlines on top of your other to-do list. So that's what I'm finding, is that balance. And so that's been interesting and exciting, and glad to be on this journey. And of course, Donald's helped me all along the way anyway. I've been having him do more honeydews lately, and he doesn't mind, it seems like. So
I picked the furnace today, everybody.
Right. And then you had to hang some spice racks for me, too.
All right,
well. Okay, so we will play a few ads, and we will be back in just a little bit.
Do you like talking about health matters? Do you struggle with your weight? Are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired?
Why are you talking in that tone? What's with your voice?
I was watching a bunch of conspiracy videos on YouTube, and they sound more ominous and compelling when the voices are, like, really low and scary.
You're ridiculous.
No, seriously. Check it out. Do you like vegetables? Are you presently living gluten-free? Are you a member of a secret society?
That'll do.
Are you in the Illuminati? Are you a Jesuit?
Really?
Do you vacation at Bohemian Grove?
Come on, man. Join us Mondays here at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time for Mental Acumen with Donald and Christy Rose here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Do you need male enhancements? Do you need iodine? Do you want some colloidal silver? Order now while supplies last.
Good. Smith. School board members, my name is John. I just turned 10 years old.
Talk a little closer to that.
I just turned 10 years old, and I am a fourth grader at Felix A. Williams. I expected school to be a little bit different in the beginning, but I didn't think it would stay this way all year long, and I was surprised by the rules. A lot of them didn't make any sense to me, like the fact that we were not allowed to play on the playground or have student council, or turn to face each other at lunch, and we also have to wear masks outside at PE and on track. I love my school and all, but my teachers seem really stressed, and that makes me feel bad. One teacher walks around with a clipboard full of referrals for any student whose mask isn't on promptly. It makes me feel scared. That same teacher yells at us having our masks down to drink water while we are outside in car line. She told us we had to wait until we were in our parents' car to have a drink of water. She had her mask down the entire time while she was yelling at us, which makes me and all my friends very mad. This happens a lot. And it seems unfair teachers take their masks off while they yell at us kids and that we need to pull ours up. I asked my mom if there is a word for this, and she said there is. Hypocrisy. Wearing a mask all day makes me feel really tired and gives me really bad headaches. Sometimes I miss school and I need to lay low in the dark until they're gone. My mask also sticks to my face when it's really hot, and it makes it hard to breathe. I feel like I can't catch my breath, and that makes me feel claustrophobic and anxious. It's really stressful. I finished taking all of my FSAs, and I had a hard time focusing with the mask on. A few weeks ago, I ran into my teacher outside of school. She didn't even recognize me because she's never seen my face before. But I knew it was her because she sits at her desk a lot without a mask on. I know my teacher has asthma and everything, but I understand why it's hard for her to wear a mask, and I think she should have that choice. But I should too. I have allergies, and I feel really anxious with my face covered, but I'm not allowed a mask break like her. It seems unfair. All this seems unfair, and it doesn't make sense. I miss seeing people's face. I miss the way things used to be. I'm scared they'll never go back to normal. Breathing freely doesn't seem like something we should have to ask any other people for permission for. Please make masks optional today. It would be so awesome to end the school year on a really happy note like that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, John. You did a good job.
We have a little over 2 weeks left of school. I'm asking you to please let the children...
How could I be the President of the United States of America and not speak out against the violation of human rights? I told him that unlike other countries, including Russia, we're uniquely a product of an idea. You've heard me say this before again and again, but I'm going to keep saying it. What's that idea? We don't derive our rights from the government. We possess them because we're born, period. And we yield them to a government. And so the forum, I pointed out to him that that's why we're going to raise our concerns about cases like Alexei Navalny. I made it clear to President Putin that we'll continue to raise issues of fundamental human rights because that's what we are. That's who we are. The idea is we hold these truths self-evident. All men and women. We haven't lived up to it completely, but we've always widened the arc of commitment and included more and more people.
What must be what? 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 What must be what?
But even Dr. King's assassination did not have the worldwide impact that George Floyd's death did. Because just like television changed the civil rights movement for the better when they saw Bull Connor and his dogs ripping the clothes off of elderly black women going to church and fire hoses ripping the skin off of young kids. That all those folks around the country who didn't have any black populations heard about this, but didn't believe it, but they saw it. It was impossible to close their eyes. Well, what George Floyd happened to George Floyd, now you got how many people around the country? Millions of cell phones. Mm-hmm. It's changed the way everybody's looking at this. Look at the millions of people marching around the world. The world. So my point is that I think people are really realizing that this is a battle for the soul of America. Who are we? What do we want to be? How do we see ourselves? What do we think we should be?
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Crops and it's going to feed the planet and it's going to end hunger and
we'll all be in this egalitarian utopia. Well, it's not happening. That is never in the best interest of the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in the best interest of the powers that be to have a bunch of critical thinking people presenting their own ideas and their own kind of school systems.
Right.
Well, that sort of thing's happening as well. You know, there is decentralized schools, I hate to use the term schools, but decentralized education going on. I mean, the Ron Paul education package that a lot of the libertarian people that I listen to have been rolling out, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I think the jury is in on this whole homeschooling versus public schooling. You know, what's happened over the past year and a half, I will say that that's probably one of the bright sort of things that came out of it, is that a lot of people have let a lot of their misconceptions about homeschooling go, right? A lot of people, you know, yeah, we work all day, and, you know, the idea of having to spend an extra X amount of time, you know, educating our child is, you know, terrifying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the internet, I mean, you can use the internet as something other than, you know, just watch cat videos, you know, then the tools are out there, right? And there are a lot of people more intelligent than me and you that are creating these things, right? The social media thing is a good example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Because we have this idea that things as they exist now are the way things just are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't get off Facebook because, okay, how long was MySpace a thing? And whenever MySpace came around, everybody's like, oh, hell yeah, I'm on MySpace. It's so cool. It's awesome. You get to do this and do that. And then Facebook came and just completely did away with MySpace, right? It became the thing that old people did, right? All the cool people was on Facebook. Right?
All the businesses are on Facebook.
No, my daughter refers to Facebook in that way. Only old people are on Facebook, Dad. Oh, okay. Well, these things come and go, right? And the fact that there, you know, is a group of creators out there, creative minds out there, who have these ideals of liberty and freedom at the basis of their content creation and at their, you know, the heart of their apps that they're creating and stuff, where they're like, yeah, we don't want to be mediators of the rights and the wrongs and the dummies and the smart people. And, you know, that's not what we're here for. If you're a dum-dum and you want to come put your dum-dum videos on our website, cool, do that. It costs $7.99 a month. Rock on, dum-dum, you know? And that used to be the way, I mean, back in the day, you could watch these, like, really crazy videos on Google Video, you know? And I swear to you, the videos about, like, the Federal Reserve and the Money Masters, these were the videos that, like, made Google Video what it was. And these were the things that were getting millions of views on YouTube in its infancy. These were the content creators, the Alex Joneses of the world, right? And you have now this clique of authoritarian technocrats that are lockstepping with the medical overlords, right? Who are all, you know, the overlords of your government agencies, unless you're just a big coincidence there, that's like, well, that's just a big coincidence that all these corporations are making people get vaccines. You know, okay, whatever. But there is a contingency of people out there that see these things and say, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. It's really strange these days how whenever we go out to talk to one another, that we almost feel, I don't know, I'm not this way, but it seems that people don't feel like they can even talk to one another and or have conversations unless there's the members of the same tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a lot of this going around?
Yeah, I believe so.
I was talking with a young man a couple of days ago who called himself a conservative, right? And he made this statement to me. He says he finds it appalling these days how people are so ready to just surrender their freedoms to this government because they're scared of this virus. And I said, I understand what you mean. I said, do you know who I blame for this? It's who? I said, the conservatives. And he was taken aback by this. And I said, you're pretty young. I said, but you don't remember 20 years ago when there was these pieces of legislation being rolled out at that time called the Patriot Act, where they were saying, yeah, domestic terrorism is now this stuff. And there was a group of people saying, don't surrender your rights to these people. They are tyrants. Don't do this. And you know what everybody on the right side of the aisle said? If you don't do anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. How do we feel about these things now?
Mm-hmm.
As you have a government in power right now that says, in a roundabout sort of way, yeah, if you vote for Donald Trump, you're pretty much a domestic terrorist. You know why? Because Donald Trump told those people at the Capitol on January 6th to go storm the Capitol and kill people and shoot them in the face. It's fuzzy logic. I agree with that. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the idea is dum-dums, right? If you're a little bit scared and the government says, we'll protect you, you say, no. I don't need your help in this one. You know why? Because if you take my liberty and freedom away, I'm pretty sure you're not going to give it back. Because I keep saying this to people as well. So now that good old Joseph Biden brought the troops home from Afghanistan the other day, does that mean that the global war on terror is over now? And if the global war on terror is over, can we fire everyone at the TSA, please? And as a matter of fact, we just eradicate the Homeland Security Department. And people can't even bend their heads around this. We're not talking about the CIA, right? We're talking about a government entity less than 25 years old, right? It was created with a stroke of a pen. It can't be destroyed with a stroke of a pen?
Right.
Well, people can't really, like say, bend their heads around a world where we go to the airport and we say, no, I don't want to take my shoes off. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's been 20 years. You ain't caught any terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
You're bad at your job. You're fired. Right? This is the government ineptitude. Right? I mean, and it's across the board. You've had 20 years, you haven't caught any terrorists, you're fired. We bring back Donald Trump. Remember that show? What was the show?
You fired the entrepreneur. Or
the Apprentice.
The Apprentice,
right. Bring back Donald Trump for reprising his role as the boss on The Apprentice, right? You're fired. And let's just plug that into the medical tyranny that's being laid down on you.
Right. I like it.
you're fired. No. You had your chance. You failed. You're fired. Well, I don't want to get off on that rant again. But
so how can we connect if we don't want to connect on Facebook? Because Facebook also tracks everything that we do. So
well, it's this interesting question of how these things are, you know, we've talked about the addictive properties of these things, right?
Right.
How they're created like that. But creature comforts, right? Because that is basically what everybody says to me about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's so great for connecting with the people that you... Okay, fine. I think the same argument can be made about text messaging,
mm-hmm.
right? If you wanted to connect with me, here's my phone number.
Right.
Connect. Send me a text message. Send me funny memes, right? But the creature comforts that we are, like, just completely dependent on, right? Because, I mean, that's across the board, isn't it? The Twitter crowd, the Instagram crowd, right? What are some other ones that people just can't live without?
I don't know. YouTube, I don't know.
Those are the main ones. Yeah. I mean, getting caught out there in YouTube land, that's really easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. If you're sitting around, brain dead, you had 5 glasses of wine, and you're like bored to tears, and you click on YouTube, and you're like, oh, and that's related to that video I just showed,
mm-hmm.
and that's related to that one. And then 5 minutes later, you're watching people fighting in a Burger King parking lot, you know?
And then because you like this, now you get to watch this. And then, by the way, if you want to buy our thing you were just thinking about that didn't even come out of your mouth yet.
But it's the idea of necessity
mm-hmm.
versus non-necessities, non-essentials.
It's okay, though. The government will decide what's essential and what's not.
Damn right. And, you know, it's across the board because you can't kill ideas, right? And let's talk about that on an evil sort of level, right? Now, I remember someone saying this to me whenever the neocons and the George Bush regime was talking about the idea of a global war on terror. And somebody says, we don't have a defined enemy. I said, well, what do you mean? We don't, as a country, say, we declare war on Afghanistan. We declare war on Iraq, Iran, Syria. We just broad brushed it and said, a global war on terror. Well, you cannot kill ideas. You cannot battle and rage against ideas. You can, but it's pretty much an exercise in futility.
Right.
And we got 20 years with trillions of dollars of wasted money and $5-something billion worth of hardware that we left to our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, seems like a failed attempt. We tried to battle against an ideology and we failed. Because you don't win hearts and minds with love bombs
mm-hmm.
and, you know, love machine gun fire and dropping the Delta Force into their backyard.
Right.
That's not a way to win the hearts and minds. And if your response to that is, well, they shouldn't have attacked us. If they attacked us, I said this from the beginning of the war on terror, we can do war. We invented that. We are a violent country. We were conceived in violence, and we've been pretty violent ever since we set up shop here. So, yeah, if we want to do war, let's do war. Mm-hmm. Let's get one of the big ones, load it up on a plane, and we'll just turn the whole area into a sheet of glass. And then we'll go over there and build us a new little, you know, Abu Dhabi 2.0 type of looking thing in the middle of Afghan, Iraq, and start from fresh.
Mm-hmm.
People look at me like I was some sort of psycho. Are you crazy? What we're doing doesn't seem crazy to you?
Right.
In 20 years, we supposedly put down the Nazis and the Italian, you know, fascist thing that was set to take over the planet. I mean, these people want to take over the planet, right? The Muslim extremists, they just want to knock down our buildings and kind of give us the middle finger, you know? Like, quit messing with us and here's the middle finger, right? They just want freedom, right? Well, they're not any more poised to take away my freedom. I'm sorry, I'm not afraid of desert-dwelling brown people that ride around in Toyotas with machine guns strapped to the top of them. Oh, sorry. Now they got night vision goggles and a bunch of grenades and tanks and Chinook helicopters and God knows what else. But kill ideas, right? It is a battle of ideas. Like the Alex Jones website says, right? It's an info war. It's an info war. And somewhere along the line, the government starts losing the info war, and then they just kind of come out as what they really are. And what they really are is a bunch of tyrants seeking power. And when they get a little more power, they're going to want a little bit more power. And whenever you give them a little more power, they're going to want a little more power. And the idea is coming out of the left right now that we need to do this so that later on we can, and just like all the commercials we talked about, right? We need to do this now so that we can go back to the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's contradictory to the ideas of the new normal.
Right.
And we did this already, like I said before. Whenever all of you conservative people were sitting on your hands and your good man George W. Bush was up there saying, this is the new normal. We need to touch your testicles at the airport. We need to make your wife drink breast milk. We need to stick our hands inside the pants of your 4 years old. And this is the new normal. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the people that are telling me to do this now. And I won't like it tomorrow.
They haven't even caught any terrorists. So it's a waste of money and a waste of everybody's time.
Well, and we're no closer to killing that idea either. So the ideas that are trying to be warred against now have come home. And this was what was being told to everybody whenever these articles of freedom were being drafted by the neocons, these things like the Patriot Act, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a lot of people saying, yeah, that's a very broad definition of what can be called a terrorist. Odds are these things are being written for us, for you. And it was, you're one of those conspiracy theorists.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how do we feel about it now?
Right.
Yeah, I told you so. It doesn't matter anymore. It's happening, right? If you look at what happened on January 6th and you think to yourself, all those people deserve to die, because that is what we do for people that are convicted of treason in this country. If you think those people are a bunch of treasonous people that tried to overthrow the government, then you need to get to the front of the line so that you can kill them. Now, we've talked about this before as well, about the fun that we have with pronouns in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we need to do. We, and right? Let's switch the pronouns up. Talk about these things in the first person. Next time you want to go bomb brown people on the other side of the planet, start talking in the singular. I want to kill the leaders of this country. I want to drop bombs on the neighborhoods around this city. I want to be leading the Delta Force whenever. It's like the idea of drug addiction, right? You ever know anybody that's a drunk or a drug addict?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to put them in a cage?
No. That's their choice. I mean, they may have an illness they need to seek treatment for, but I think if they're an adult, that's their choice if they want to seek treatment or just keep drinking.
Well, we have a pretty good history of putting drug addicts in cages in this country.
Yeah.
Right?
And you didn't even have to be a drug addict. You could have just a little bit of marijuana on you and you're lock them up.
Right. Well, we take just a long time to learn from our failures and mistakes. And it seems like it would be a nice byproduct of this new information age that we live in, that we become a little bit more quick to see these things.
But all the information is overwhelming, and then we get distracted with all the dumb idiocracy stuff.
And this is why the powers that be are locking it down and clamping down on the controlling of the narrative, right? This is something that we've definitely seen really getting ratcheted down over the last year and a half. And the controlling of the narrative is, think about like the ivermectin question that's been being tossed around recently. What's your feelings on that? What's your take on that?
I think it's upsetting because they're downplaying the efficacy and the results have been hidden and people try to tell others when they've used it. But yeah, it's been claimed as a not something that's used for people and something that is not going to help people. But then people go on to social media from time to time and say it works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's upsetting that who is wiping these people off that are saying it works for them.
Kind of got some traction, right? You saw this, like, after the Joe Rogan thing, right? You put that out. People lost their minds. The CNN people lost their freaking minds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the controlled vector that is the right side, the Fox News people, right? They're like, oh, you know. And I want everybody to notice how people on the right don't come out and say, yeah, Joe Rogan is right. Ivermectin works. Here's a study that shows that.
Right.
They don't do that, right? They just do the finger pointing at the other people and say, CNN said he's bad for doing this. Look at how dumb they are. Controlling of the narrative, right? They come out and said, instantly, horse paste. Horse dewormer paste. Oh my God, Joe Rogan took horse dewormer paste. Right? And then they repeated. So much so that I said it on the show that one time, that after that happened, I said something about the Joe Rogan interview, and the guy just knee-jerked it right out. Said, oh yeah, that he took the horse dewormer. There you go. That is literally 1984. Control of the narrative and the other stuff that we deem to be wrong think will get sent down the pipe to Winston and he will put it in the memory hole.
Right, and they couldn't take away what he had already said, so their fight back was to, oh, we'll bash it and try to bash his credibility. But if it works for you, it works for you.
Yeah. And it makes me, you know, wonder because, you know, that the internet was still in its infancy whenever 9/11 happened. And shortly after 9/11, it was a strange time in our country then as well, right? And anti-war people, right, were ostracized, kind of like the anti-vax, vax mandate deniers or whatever is being ostracized now, right? If you said something like, I think this war is a mistake, you were called everything under the sun, right? You're a baby-killing, grandma-hating, United States-hating commie. Mm-hmm. Get out of my country. You know? I hope the takeaway is that we as a society can stand back and look at these examples and make a connection in them and realize that we're being played. It doesn't matter if you think 9/11 was an inside job. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in false flags. If you don't believe that your government is capable of performing these types of bills, that's okay. We don't have to agree on those things. But we have to focus on the things that we do agree upon. I believe in your freedom to say things that you want to say. I believe in your freedom to worship whatever, God, tree, rock, animal, whatever it is you want to worship. I believe in truth, liberty, and your pursuit of happiness. But if we can come to terms on these little things, we can move forward. Before you want to force somebody else to do something, ask yourself those questions. Am I willing to give up my liberty and freedom to force this person to blank? Right? Within the ideas of controlling narratives, that is how the narrative works, is you have to keep the two sides pointing fingers and laughing and bitching and arguing with each other. Right?
It's a distraction technique too.
And that's okay to have opposing views, like I said,
mm-hmm.
but we have a third party out there. We'll call that third party government. We'll call that third party technocratic overlords stepping up and saying, okay, that's a foul. You're not allowed to say that. You go to the penalty box.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a fair playing field anymore.
Right.
That's when the narrative is going to get skewed going one direction, right? A lot of people are coming to this realization, and within that control of the narrative as well, it's led to a lot of cognitive dissonance, and what's come out on the other end has been a complete new way of thinking about everything. And everybody says, well, the world is controlled by a bunch of banking dynasties that are the puppet masters, and they're the ones pulling the strings of the marionette that you call government. They're behind every war and every pandemic and yada, yada, yada. And we don't want to do it anymore. Well, how do you circumvent that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not going to use their money anymore. We're going to start using crypto. We're going to start making our own cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
A decade ago, whenever I started hearing about Bitcoin and stuff and what it was, I'm ignorant. I mean, math is not my strong point, right? I couldn't really sit somebody down and explain to them how computer algorithms work.
Right.
You know?
Especially like the blockchains and all these other things.
Well, the blockchain, as I understand it, you would, an accounting mind like yourself, you could just equate that to a ledger.
Oh, okay.
So your Bitcoin address is that mile long,
mm-hmm.
AW/lightning-bolt-eyeball, you know. Then, you know, it's just the blockchain is the money's been created and it goes into somebody's Bitcoin wallet, then it's on the, you know, the blockchain ledger.
Okay.
Right. And so it's accountable mm-hmm. in that way, right? But it's peer-to-peer, right? So basically, once this person, maybe you'll have the Bitcoin mining, you know, that's how people be giving, you know, possession of Bitcoin. And then they give it to somebody, right? It's so good history of that transaction.
Mm-hmm.
But people are waking up to this idea of creating something rather than just, you know, being in the street saying, in the Fed.
Right.
Or Occupy Wall Street.
Because that's...
We are the 99%.
That's one way to do action, but it's not very productive necessarily.
Right. And, you know, another way to look at it would be some of the other topics that we've talked about on the show many times. Health matters.
Mm-hmm.
People are decentralizing this. We talk about, you know, sticking to the outside of the grocery stores, stop eating all the processed foods, support your farmers markets, start to get to know some of your local farmers if you can.
Right.
And
try your hand at growing your own vegetables.
Proof has that commercial that he's been running on his program for a long time about the indoor gardens,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And I know of a company that I just recently listened to that they basically changed their business model from being just like a landscaping design company
mm-hmm.
to kind of morphing it into what they call forestry farming.
Mm-hmm.
Where they do a landscape design with growing your own food in mind, right?
Yeah, because some of those fruit and nut trees are going to sustain you if necessary, or they could feed the wildlife. That's always a good bonus.
Right.
It could be something you could donate to the local shelters and such,
yeah.
too, if you're not going to utilize it,
yeah.
or barter with your neighbors. And some of those trees are such low maintenance as well that they're just going to produce year after year.
And
it's sustainable.
I mean, if you've got a short amount of space in your backyard
mm-hmm.
and it's this idea like, oh, I look at that sort of thing and this is really beyond my pay grade. Find somebody that is in their wheelhouse.
Right. And this could be as simple as going down to your local nursery and talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us could, if we got a couple of friends together, can plant one tree, and then that one tree, once it's planted, if you water it for a few years and then it's good, it's established, you're good to go.
If you don't have the green thumb, then, yeah, open a dialogue
mm-hmm.
with somebody, right? And this person might be good at this, and you might decide you're good at that, and it has to start somewhere, right?
Right.
And back to the idea, though, of creating something new on the internet, though.
Mm-hmm.
I have been listening to, you know, podcasts for a long time. And a lot of the podcasters that I've listened to for years now, right, old school, have been getting booted off of all the platforms, right? They're not allowed on YouTube anymore because they said something about vaccine mandates being bad, or they said ivermectin, or, you know, whatever it was, right? But they're getting just scrubbed left and right. And there are people out there, like I say, way smarter than me and you and I, that are creating alternative video hosting websites.
Okay.
Let me throw a couple of these out here and ask you if you've ever heard of them. BitChute.
No.
You've never heard of BitChute?
No.
Wow, okay.
I'm not really tech savvy, and so I don't learn about the rage of the age, and I don't have time to listen to podcasts lately.
Ah, that's fair. BitChute. Let's see if I can says that on their homepage that BitChute is community funded. We depend on your support to maintain and improve the platform. So basically, it's all of the content creators, just like a lot of the other websites that you go and visit, it has like their donate buttons and stuff like that. Except it's just that. It's a video hosting website. It's a YouTube alternative. It's a bastion of free speech, I guess, you know, one could argue, because that's the one thing that a lot of the creators of these websites like BitChute came right out and said was that we don't want to be the deciders of what is allowable opinion or what is going to be on our website. You know, aside from the things that we all can agree on, like I don't want pictures of kids being raped and I don't want snuff films of people being murdered, right? Because we're all pretty, I think we're all pretty much of the like mind that those things are really against the law and those things should not be on, you know, video sharing websites. So,
especially if children have access.
Absolutely. Let me throw another name out there and see if you've ever heard of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Roxanne.
No.
And this is spelled R-O-K-F-I-N. And BitChute is B-I-T-C-H-U-T-E, like a little long shoot, like a boom.
Okay.
Now, Roxanne is a subscription type of site. It's kind of like Netflix for the, I'm throwing up some air quotes here, for the alternative media people, right? And I've been doing alternative media for forever. I mean, I remember saying this to family members of mine years ago. I get better news from a kid with a cell phone in Tehran than I do from these jackals at CBS, ABC, Fox, and, you know, whatever.
Right.
Because they're bought and paid for. Now, Rockfin, they also started their own cryptocurrency. It's Ray, R-A-E, and they buy and sell and swap in that crypto. They got $4 million worth of value creators netted on their dashboard. So, I mean, they're killing it. They're doing absolutely fantastic. And like I say, just about every alternative media site that I listen to has gone to those top two video sharing websites. Sorry, video hosting websites.
Okay.
BitChute and Rockfin are two of the biggies. And here's another one that it's also kind of, you know, centered around the cryptocurrency world, created by a couple of Bitcoin enthusiasts. I don't know what you call them, but whatever. It's Float. F-L-O-T-E. Float.app. And here's their homepage. It's a quote from one of the creators, I believe. The evolution of how we all digitally interact must be with continuous care, open-mindedness, and clarity in mind. These traits are ones we haven't seen. Float changes that with their emphasis on free encrypted messaging and Bitcoin integration. So, kind of just, you know, basically saying the same thing that I was just saying, which is, say what you want, just don't, you know, do a bunch of killing and crazy stuff. We're all pretty much, you know, on the same boat of what's crazy, right? Bitcoin integration, right? We're done with the fiat, you know, build it up, make war, type of thing.
Right.
There is people out there. There are people out there that are thinking differently. And personally speaking, I do know, I do understand, thinking differently hurts.
Yeah. There are growing pains.
It's a painful process, right? And if you equate that to the way, if you're old like I am, how you kind of felt when the internet was coming around, right? Those same kind of growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I listened to a podcast with the creators of this float.app, and this thing has a function where they can upload all of your content from Facebook to it.
Oh, okay.
So this is an argument that they kept hearing, which was, well, I got, like, you know, pictures of my dog Skippy from 2008, and Skippy's no longer with us, and it was going, well, I'll go pictures. Okay. They provide this service, uploading all of your things. I don't understand it because, like, that on Facebook.
Right.
But, I mean, that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The technology these days. And the brains behind it that can utilize it.
Okay, let's talk about another one here. And it is library.
Well, yeah. I like the sound of it because I love books.
Well, it's LBRY, all in caps.
Okay.
And their homepage on the front says, library does to publishing what Bitcoin did to money. Join top creators and more than 10 million people on Library, an open, free, and fair network for digital content.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of those sort of deals where you can do your blogs, right? You can do your daily paper blog, you type your updates and newspaper article for the day, and you do your blogs, your video blog with it, and it's also a video hosting website.
All right.
It's amazing. It really is.
Okay, bookmark that one and send me that.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to send them all to you. Don't worry. Now, do you remember?
I'm getting my word on today.
Okay. Do you remember after the last election cycle, when the president of the United States got booted off of Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Facebook. Both of them, maybe.
And then supposedly he went to another platform, I believe it was called Rumble. Okay. I'll go ahead and talk about Rumble then. It looks like it's basically just like a Facebook.
Okay.
Right? Got a lot of videos on it. Sorry, I didn't mean like Facebook. It's more like a YouTube.
Okay.
Right. So it's got all these different channels, just like YouTube does.
Okay.
But when you touch on the featured channels, it reads like a who's who, alternative media, and everyone else. I mean, muddled within it is the New York Post, and there's these other terrorists like Glenn Greenwald. I don't know if you know who he is, but anyway.
Even if I did, I heard they remember names.
Dinesh D'Souza, you know him. Donald Trump Jr., Rand Paul, Ben Shapiro, you're just your basic, Michaela Peterson, your basic who's who of the terrorist watch list, right? And then you got other fun stuff like on their front page, which is an Aussie dog loves to play in the pool. So yeah, it's literally a video of a Australian shepherd swimming in a kiddie pool. So you got all your dumbed down content as well, right? It's not all a bunch of libertarian people and, war video and stuff like that.
Okay.
Now, one more, and it is Odyssey. Now, that's spelled Odyssey. And it's same thing. It's a video sharing website, just like the YouTubes.
Okay.
And whenever I opened up their homepage, the video that first pops up is, welcome to a universe of weird videos. And the lead video is another guinea pig boop. A 42-second video of, that's right, talking guinea pigs. And, you know, I don't want to live in a world where I can't have cat videos and stupid guinea pig videos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love freedom. Mm-hmm. And I love people's freedom to put up stupid-ass guinea pig videos.
Because who knows when we're going to need a laugh. We've talked about laughter as medicine. And sometimes if you get lost in cat videos for 30 minutes or an hour, that might improve your mental health.
Yeah.
Or if your gig is seeing people get hurt or doing stupid stuff, there goes.
On a personal note, I don't ever watch fail army videos. I don't ever watch people falling down cliffs.
There's a video for everything. I was looking at how-to video, and I do this from time to time if I'm like, how do you do that? I learned how to knit from YouTube videos.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many good, useful, helpful things that you can learn about. Anyway, I digress. It doesn't have to be just YouTube. These are other channels where you can learn as well.
And, you know, I started out the show ranting on my new and good about how I try not to be so black-pilled and how I try not to have that poison worldview. Well, I'd like to just say this in kind of wrapping this up, that this is the future of freedom. Is telling tyrants, no, we don't want to do that. We're going to go do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Using cryptocurrency, using other media platforms.
The tyrants are being exposed for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying, we told you so. We told you these tyrants are a bunch of tyrants. If you want to kowtow to the tyrants, then that's easily done.
Right.
Keep voting donkeys and elephants and believing the shit show that comes out on Fox News and CBS and the Rachel Maddow and the Don Lemon and the Sean Hannity's and all these people that have lied to you repeatedly. Keep believing it. And you know what's going to happen? Nothing. The same thing's going to continue to happen. If your brand of freedom doesn't look like my brand of freedom, fine. That's fine. I believe in your freedom. I believe in your liberty. I believe you are at liberty to live your life as you see fit.
And pursue happiness.
Drink water, drink beer, drink whiskey. Live your life how you want to live it. Just don't infringe on my liberty to do the same.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair request.
And if you want to put up videos of you and your church congregation doing study on Thursday night, fine. If you want to do it on YouTube, I support your right to do that. If you don't, because YouTube said ivermectin is of the devil and you think that they're liars, well, I just presented you with a handful of websites that would probably love to have your business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you unseat the power, is just like your mama told you whenever you were being picked on, just ignore the pest,
right?
Your girl and the boy's pulling your pigtails, you know, come stop it, but you ignore them and they'll eventually, you know,
mm-hmm.
get your interest.
Right.
Well, a lot of people are tired of being pestered by censorship and everything else, and rather than, you know, railing against it all the time, we're just going to create our own thing. And that is amazing. I think that is, it's part of the things that make the world beautiful and a great place to be.
Right, because then you're creating less of the aggression and all of this stuff by not trying to fight against it. Just go do your own thing.
Yeah.
We had a great time chatting, and we'll see you next week.
Much love, everybody. Y'all take care.